where it's 6 minutes past nine. We've got a Country Cup Festival on the weekend. We go to Pakenham on Saturday and Werribee on Sunday, where it's the fourth running of the Werribee Cup on a Sunday. So fingers crossed that the meeting can go off with a bang, as we're expecting from Pakenham. Ash Baker is the CEO of the club. He's got a very interesting CV and a very interesting task in trying to resurrect the Werribee Cup from its glory days. And Ash joins me. G'day, Ash.
Hi, Matt.
How are you? I don't know if that's overstating it, saying to resurrect, but obviously there's been a difficult history for Werribee, and this is the fourth Sunday Cup in, and you're first. And just talking to you off air, you've been trying to rally a lot of community support for the race, haven't you?
We have. Look, and that probably is the similar line we've been taking with the local community, in that we are trying to re-establish ourselves as a key player. We know we've been through some troubled times with the track, and we've disconnected from the local community particularly a lot in the last probably 5 to 7 years. The committee and I have worked really hard for the last 6 months just trying to reconnect, get people engaged again, and that's starting to show with our membership numbers well up. And we're getting a good vibe.
Membership numbers have nearly doubled, is that right?
Nearly doubled, yeah. So we
in what period?
Probably in the last 3 months. So
wow.
That was the catalyst for that. Was we decided to do a season launch for the first time in August. So we basically opened the doors up, put on a bit of finger food, and invited anyone and everyone to come tell them this, our story, and sort of paint the picture as to where we want to be in the next sort of 12 months to 2 years. And off that, we've gathered some momentum with sponsorship and a number of new members, which is a great result.
The disconnect, sometimes in order to fix something, you've got to work out when it disconnected. And I remember when I was younger, like a young reporter, we'd go to Werribee and the cars would all be lined up along the railway line, and it would be very much like the Bendigo Cups and Geelong Cups, and then it completely collapsed. There were issues with the track, the race was relocated, and I think a number of factors probably added up for the disconnect you were talking about. But from your position, what was the issue? What was it, a number of things that just went wrong year after year?
Look, I think it probably accumulated through a number of little issues, the track, some administration. They sort of all catapulted together, and then the community probably felt like they were burnt a little bit. That's sort of some of the messaging I was getting.
That the club wasn't looking after them?
Pretty much, yeah. So I think the first thing was to bring that image back up in the local community, show them that you're being a part of it and that you want to be active. So I've particularly made a concerted effort to join into a lot of the community organisations and associations, spend as much time as I can, not just so that we can get their support, but also to show that we're there to support them. We want to be a part of the community, and I think to do that, you've got to get off your bum a bit and sort of hit the pavement and knock on the doors and see who's willing to help.
Is it a difficult community to tap into? Because Werribee's always been a bit of something and a bit of something else. It's not a standalone country town with the racetrack as the centrepiece, as a Dunkeld or something like that, or any number of other towns, and it's sort of almost a fringe suburb. Is it a difficult community to harness?
It took me a little while to work that out, to be honest. Like, I'd been to Werribee in my former roles, and I'd been to the track plenty of times, but I actually hadn't really been into the community to have a bit of a look at it. And I probably misjudged the size of the community itself and how close-knit they were. It's a really close-knit community in some respects, but also with the development, there's nearly 350,000 in the municipality now. It's a very
so there was
diverse,
a more of a community feel than you probably expected.
A lot more. Yeah. I was really surprised, and that's partly helped us probably take some big steps in the last few months, because there are people there that want to see a racetrack to survive. It's something for them to own a little bit, and everyone loves having a country racetrack in your community, and there is definitely that feel within the Werribee community.
Is Sunday, it may be, but it may not be, is Sunday in an ideal world the right day, the day after a similar Sunday Cup not that far away?
I need to have a little bit of a look in terms of how Sunday goes first to determine whether or not it is the right day. I mean,
because the big crowds were when it wasn't on a Sunday.
Of course. I mean, yeah. The last week into the Melbourne Cup, look, we're never going to be there again, and we just
why
have to
was that,
that.
What was the cause? There was a shuffling of change dates, and Werribee was influenced by that, wasn't affected by that.
Yeah. So as a result, I think they tried an Autumn Cup. They tried one, I think, in January.
Is this because of the internationals being there?
Yeah. So we can't race, obviously, and have race horses come in for a meeting while the internationals are there. So we have to think sort of beyond that mid-November date. Look, Pakenham's got a big cup the day before. It's 2,500 metres, we're 2,000 metres. Whether we look at a mile cup instead of 2,000 at some point, I'm not sure. But the date I think we need to keep consistent, particularly for the community. Whether or not it fits in the best with the racing calendar is probably the second issue. For me as a club manager, it's more about having something consistent with your community so that they're engaged. If you change it again, then you're sort of starting from scratch again with your community.
Exactly. There's every race meeting of the week can satisfy turnover KPIs, but I think it's great that you feel you're more bound to your community than you are to necessarily a turnover KPI or something like that, or yeah, or fitting into some sort of pattern. So how long does the Sunday experiment continue before you have enough sort of data to work out whether it's the right day?
Look, I'd like to see it at least for another couple of years, particularly so that I can personally have a bit of a look at it. It's really important to look at how Sunday goes, look at the figures, look at the wagering, look at the people through the gates. We're getting a lot of momentum, particularly on social media. We're getting a lot of pre-sales, all our packages are sold out, and also a lot of online GA tickets have been sold. So if the numbers increase off last year, then we know we're on the right path, and then we can have another look at again at the end of next year. But I'm not too worried about that, Matt, to be honest. Look, coming from a racing background, yes, it's not going to be the best quality feel that you would get in the middle of the spring, but we just need to accept that as a club as we are right now and work towards that in community engagement and just getting people back and wanting to be a part of the Werribee Cup.
What's are there any innovations on track on for those who are wondering whether they should go to the Werribee Cup on Sunday? Is there what's in store for them if they go?
We've tried a couple of different things this year just to try and entice particularly some of the younger crowd in. So we've teamed up with a local pub out there called the Park Hotel, which is probably one of the more trendier gastro type pubs in the area. With that, we've got
You
a
don't
mark.
get gastro if you go there. It's a different reference to
That's the
gastro.
right terminology, isn't it?
Well, gastronomical.
And we've got a bit of a DJ marquee, so it's not really my forte in terms of DJ music, but we've got a decent lineup coming. One of my function staff is into that scene, so she's organised that in conjunction with a number of local DJs in Melbourne. And people will be able to get into that throughout the day as well. So that's something different on track. As well as we've got the Diva Marquee up on the hill this year, which will see about 300 people dining. And Country Race of Victoria are hosting a bit of an event in there as well. So a few little things. I didn't want to change too much, to be honest, Matt, being my first cup. We're only a small team. We need the committee and a lot of volunteers to help us get Sunday up and running. I didn't want to go and change too much. Last year was a success, so it was important to have something similar this year. Do a few little different things, see if they work, and then next year when I've got a bit more time to prepare and get ready for it, we can sort of maybe try a few new things.
All right, I'll ask you about the small team a little bit later on, and the role and the internationals and the role you play with the internationals and whether you are rewarded by the industry for that role you play and whether that helps you out. But just one thing I want to ask you about is the track. It's had a checkered history over the years. How and it's had the internationals through it over the spring. What state is your track in these days?
I walked the track yesterday. It's come through the quarantine period in great shape. Paul Downs does a fantastic job, our track manager. He sort of took the 6 metres on the inside back almost from cup day onward. So we've had nearly 5 weeks to get that inside six right. And the outside sort of 6 or 7 metres is just as in good shape as the inside. So look, it was the most number of horses we've had in quarantine, I think, on record. So the track did take a fair bit of workload over the spring, but the weather was reasonably kind in that there wasn't a lot of rain. So it remained in good shape. It didn't chop out too badly. Paul sort of used as much of the course proper as he could throughout that time. So the wear and tear is just normal wear and tear that you would get if you were racing over that time.
Question, sort of without notice, but because you support the internationals, I don't know how much financial involvement there is from the Werribee Racing Club, but is there some square off from the industry for your support of their international horses?
Yeah, so Racing Victoria support us through industry funding to make sure that the track is maintained to the level that it needs to be. So we obviously put a lot of water on the track during that time. There's a lot of man hours that go into repairing the track every day, doing remedial works. And we do a lot of work in preparation for quarantine kicking off. We oversow through winter, and there's probably a good 12-week period from the 1st of June onwards that we have to have no one on the track and get it ready basically from 1 October onwards.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the internationals, and it was the largest group of internationals. I think in the end it was over 40 when you include ones that came and went, 42, I think. There was an attrition rate beyond what had been previously the case and beyond what's acceptable, especially on Melbourne Cup Day in front of a huge audience, as was the case this year and has been in six of the last 8 years. As far as your role, obviously there's an industry investigation and inquiry into the factors that may have led to the high attrition rate and the death of two horses. From a Werribee point of view, given you're the place where they hang out and exercise and so on, what's been your role in the review, and are you comfortable that is there anything that can be done with the Werribee, the two training surfaces that they use to make it less prone to these sort of attrition rates?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one, Matt, to be honest. We are guided a bit by Racing Victoria in the whole management of the track during that time. Paul Downs has got about 25 years' experience as a track manager, and I think you'll find during our season, our racing season at Werribee, I think there's only been one horse that we've lost in probably 4 or 5 years in racing. So coming from a racing background, having worked in a stable myself, the question can be whether or not those horses had little niggling issues when they came over here.
Don't blame the track. Might be the if there's a smoking gun, that might be it.
There's probably a number of things Race Victoria will look at. The number of horses obviously was significantly higher than last year. I certainly couldn't speak poorly of the track condition itself. It was presented like you could race on it every day.
Do you wonder if things that you can't control, it's the nature of your track, these horses often work in straight lines and they come here for an intense period leading up to a big grand final and they're suddenly working around corners?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, that's the nature of the European style, is to work up those undulating hills in straight lines and kick off in a canter and sort of quicken up and finish at the top of a hill, whereas Werribee is a traditionally tight track.
If that is determined as a key factor, would you recommend that they no longer use Werribee?
No, I wouldn't.
Or would you support it if that was a higher recommendation?
It'll ultimately come down to what Racing Victoria want to do. I honestly believe the track isn't a major factor in any of this issue this year. We've obviously got the sand fibre surface there as well that's used quite heavily. Whether or not there's room to put more facilities into the track, if there's, you know, Race Victoria will have to look at what they do next year in terms of managing the numbers, having a look at how we present the track, what parts of the track we use. Do we need to use more of the course proper, getting them out wider so that they're turning a bit softer and a bit more gently? There's a number of things you could look at, but ultimately we'll be guided by Racing Victoria. They run the quarantine from the moment those horses arrive. Our main role is to make sure that the facility is in good shape and that we present the track to normal standards under the Racing Victoria policy.
Given what you're trying to achieve with the local community and a bit of branding, was that a headline you didn't need?
Look, it's never ideal, I don't think. Particularly with a horse breaking its shoulder, I think it was, in front of the winning post. No one ever wants to see that. Look, it is a reality of the racing game. I think we're probably one of the best states and the jurisdictions in the world that manage our animal welfare and invest as much money as we do. And I think our stats will show that we're probably one of the best in the world. Look, for us, thankfully, we haven't had any issues during our racing season over the last few years. For me, as a racing manager of a club, it's important that my race days run smoothly.
Yep.
What happens during quarantine, obviously, I'll engage with Race Victoria as they see fit and address what needs to be addressed if we need to do something.
How many race days do you get a year these days?
Seven.
Which, when you think of the location of the track and the history, in an ideal world, you'd love to double that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I'd love to have more. Look, because we have to have that 3 months before quarantine and we're out of action for about that six-week period, there's approximately four and a half months of the year we can't race. I'm working with Race Victoria at the moment, trying to look at whether or not there's any opportunity, because we can race a bit further into the autumn and provide that grass surface for trainers looking to race as the winter months start to kick off instead of on the synthetic. But that'll be a decision for Race Victoria. I'll just put my case forward and keep on it.
All right. So for those who are wondering, who is this bloke who's trying to turn the fortunes of Werribee around, I was just flicking through your CV, and it's very eclectic, isn't it? You worked for my earlier guest, Martin Pakula, for a while. You worked for David Bridock. Just before we get to that, take us to the start. Where were you? Where did your story start?
Well, I was born and bred in far north Queensland in Cairns. So, I started with the public service up there, actually working in welfare policy, which is completely different to the racing industry. That then led to a transfer to Canberra. Things were sort of progressing nicely, and I thought that that was what I wanted to do, be a long-term career public servant. I did a few years in Canberra and thoroughly enjoyed it, but I started racing a few horses while I was in Canberra with some mates.
Just as a pastime with the mates.
My father was very much into the racing scene, and my grandmother did a little bit of training when she was up in far north Queensland many, many years ago, just as a hobby trainer. So it was a little bit in the family, but it sort of skipped a generation. It wasn't anything my father wanted to do. But as soon as I moved to Canberra and sort of got a bit closer to the southern states, where you're not far from Randwick, and Canberra's obviously got good racing there, we a few mates and I got into a couple of horses with Miffy Ray and in Queanbeyan, and we were sort of addicted from then on. So kind of one thing led to another, and we met my wife and we moved to Melbourne. Yep. We were still in the public service. And I then raced a horse with David Brydock, and that's when it really sort of catapulted. I sat and had a beer with David after my filly won at Mornington one day, and I said, look, I think you need a bit of help with your racing management. Why don't I just do it as a volunteer for a while? So I still worked in the public service here in Melbourne, and then I was getting up at 4:30, driving to Mornington 3 days a week for track work. And
what sort of stuff were you doing? You said he needed help, so you better have delivered something. What did you do for him?
Look, mainly the racing manager side of things. So programming, particularly engaging owners, trying to help build up the stable a little bit and getting and marketing his brand a little bit as well. David's got a unique background in his own right.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that we sort of improved things a little bit along the way, particularly communicating with our owners, and that sort of led to other opportunities as well.
Because he's not a lavish communicator.
No.
He's a minimalist.
Yes, well, he'd prefer to be with the horses, I think.
Yeah, exactly, like all great horsemen.
Yes, exactly. But
so how long did you work for David Brydock?
I spent 5 years there. So that took up, so I gave the public service away once I sort of made something of it with David, and we started doing a few things for our owners, like filming track work and stuff, and then that led to sort of another little business on the side once I was filming a few jump outs down at Mornington one day, and the track manager, I think Michael Suey, came up to me and said, "You want to film the trials for us?" And
how far long ago is this? Because these things have all been instituted in recent times by a lot of these various race clubs and that.
Yep.
Vision, and you know, it's very sophisticated, but it sounds like you're a bit of a pioneering era. Was this going back a decade or so?
No, but 2011 it all sort of kicked off.
Yep.
Yeah. So once I started Mornington, Jason Kerr, obviously being part of the MRC with Mornington and Caulfield, he picked up the phone and said, "You want to come and do Caulfield?" So that sort of kicked off. And then Flemington...
So how do you just stand there with a little handheld? How does
I started
it work?
With
how
a,
sophisticated is
no,
it?
No, videography is not my forte. I have absolutely no experience in it. It was a very cheap camera on a very cheap tripod.
Yep.
But as soon as things got a bit more serious, I had to invest a bit of money and put someone on to help me with the filming. And
get yourself a drone?
Yeah, well, yeah, I was out of it before the drones came on, so thankfully, because it wasn't what I wanted to do. I really wanted to be with the horses on that side of the game, but it was a good opportunity because it picked up Flemington and then Cranbourne come on board and then Pakenham, so it was almost two full-time jobs with David and the filming.
Yeah, now I mentioned Martin Pakula, and you... You worked for Martin between August 2016 and February 2018, and condensed in that period were a couple of major issues. How did you sort of wander into the minister's office? And there were a couple of big issues that popped up at the time, weren't they? One to do with the Warrnambool beaches and one to do with greyhounds.
Yeah, there was. I'd been out of the public service, I think, probably 6 years by then. So I actually thought I'd slot back in a lot easier than I did, but I found it quite difficult to get having... You know, being up with the horses at 5:30, 6 o'clock every morning for 5-6 days a week, and then going back in an office from 9 to 5, it was a bigger transition than I expected. And I went straight into the middle of the live baiting reforms with greyhound racing, so that had all been aired, and there'd been a lot of work done already. But
so what was your role there? Because the image management of that would have been very tricky.
Yeah, it was huge. Greyhound Race Victoria did a tremendous job in managing that. They really got on the front foot. So it was heavy consultation with GRV and rolling out a number of those reforms around increasing integrity.
How quickly did you, given the intensity of the push the other way, how quickly did you have to come up with these this suite of ideas
very quickly. Once the reports were released, the government basically endorsed them, and then it was straight into implementing those recommendations.
Because the noose was around it, wasn't it? It was gone.
Big time, yeah. Mm. So I'd come in sort of right in the middle of that reforms kicking off, so I'd missed all the sort of franticness early. It was all more about putting things and getting them implemented and... yeah, so that was an interesting side of things to see a bit of the Greyhound policy. But one of my first jobs was to someone pass me a brief to send to the minister about this Warrnambool Beach issue and said, look, this is a nice one for you to just get started on. It'll only take you half a day. And
it's still lingering.
You'll be done. And
you did a good job tying that one up.
6 months ago, I left that for the colleagues to take care of. 6 months later, it was still going on. It turned into a massive issue.
Yeah, there was Levy's Beach and there was Aboriginal middens and spurwing plovers and soy latte sippers with poodles.
A lot of work with the...
Where is it? You obviously will have observed it. Now, where's it all? Is there going to be a resolution that's going to suit everybody? Do you know?
Or? I don't know exactly where it's up to. My understanding is it's with council to issue the licences potentially now. I'm not quite sure. I must admit, I haven't had a chat to Downsy and Warrnambool about that recently. I'd try not to ask too many questions given what role I'm in now. But there was a long process to follow because local council, and it was two councils, Morneshire and the Warrnambool City Council, as well as the state departments, and the racing industry, the Department of Environment, and then you're working with the racing clubs, etc. So it was a really... And then they had the local Aboriginal groups that were there, so there was a lot of cultural management plans that had to be done, and it was just a long process.
A lot of sensitivities.
So hopefully they find a resolution and everyone can be satisfied with the outcome.
Well, you're wearing the Werribee Racing Club polo this morning, and we'll round it off with a discussion about that, and it's 2 or 3 days away, and it really is, and it must be great for you to be working on something with a goal. You know, you knew where it had been previously, and you've got a handle in the local community, and there's things that you want to achieve. And it really is a significant day on Sunday to test the local support and to tick a few of the boxes. So it's a big day coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Look, I'm really excited. I'm a little bit nervous. Obviously, I hope we haven't missed anything, and I'm always conscious that we're trying to tick every box, but I'm also, it's great vibe at the moment. Just things like all the marquees went up earlier in the week, all the areas are starting to get filled with the beverages, etc., and I've got my shorts on today because I'll be probably running 300 or 400 slabs of beer around all the
various
areas.
Do you know how much bar, this is the crucial question, how much for a pot over the bar, do you know?
$5 for a pot over the bar.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, on cup day, but throughout the rest of the season, I'm going to implement $4 pots.
Beautiful.
Trying to track people.
It's funny
to
how those little things count.
They do. One of my first race meetings was the April 7 race meeting this year, and all I did was tried some cheap drink specials and cheap entry, and we got about 1,100 people there, which was a great result. So there is some things we can work on. It's not always about encouraging that sort of thing, but you've got to entice the community to want to get off their backside and come in and enjoy some live racing rather than do it on their phone and in front of the TV.
Absolutely. I grew up in Bacchus Marsh, and Werribee was our local pretty much because they closed down the Bacchus Marsh racetrack when I was about 3. And so I think we can urge anyone who's out there who's not sure about what to make of the Werribee Cup these days, that you've heard it from Ash Baker, the CEO, that there's a really strong passion community feel about it, and the resurrection job is underway. And if you feel, as you probably should, to be supportive of what's going on down there, make sure you get down to Werribee on Sunday, and let's continue the progress. Good on you, Ash.
Thanks very much, man.
Ash Baker, the CEO of the Werribee Racing Club.